The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. Jesus frequently uses parables to teach ordinary people as they are able to hear and understand. Images of sowing and growing show the vitality of God's kingdom. I begin reading at verse 26. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. And yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. Do y'all know what a miracle is? What's a miracle? How would you describe a miracle? Okay, something that you want to happen that's very, very hard, and it happens. Okay, that's a very good way to put it. Yeah, miracles are something that come from God, and they are wonderful. It's things that sometimes we want to happen. Sometimes they're completely unexpected to happen, but they're always great. They're always good, and they help us in many ways. There's lots of different types of miracles. Jesus used to do miracles. When he was here on earth, he would, what's some of the miracles that he would do? He healed people. There was a guy with a broken leg, and he told him, "Stand up and walk," and the guy came up and walked. Or there was a man who was born blind. He couldn't see a thing. And all during his life, he couldn't, you know, he couldn't read. Because he couldn't see. He couldn't work because he couldn't see. When he was a kid, he couldn't run because if he ran, he would fall because he couldn't see where he was going. And he saw Jesus one day and he said, "Jesus, help me." He heard that Jesus was there and he said, "Jesus, help me." And Jesus got some mud and put it on his eyes and told him to wash it off and he would be healed. And that's what he did. He went and washed it off and sure enough, he could see. Jesus did miracles. Let's see, another time he walked on water. Another time he calmed the storm. They were out in the boat. The disciples were out in a boat. And the waves were blowing and the wind was howling and the rain was coming down. It was making noise and they thought that they were going to sink. But Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And all the waves and the wind and the rain all calmed down. Jesus does miracles, and he does miracles for us too. And as you talk to some other people, sometimes people here have seen their miracles too, that maybe they were sick, and for no explainable reason, all of a sudden they got better. God had helped them and healed them. Do you know you're a miracle? Each one of y'all are a miracle? I mean, if you stop and think about it, how does eating food or going to sleep or playing make you get bigger? You know how that works? You know how it works? How's it work? I can't tell you. I don't know how that works. How we get stronger and bigger, that's a miracle. God makes us bigger. He makes us who we are. Yeah, and there's something else then too, is God gives us faith. Which is a way that we can believe in God. And There's people who help that miracle along here, like your parents who bring you to church and to Sunday school, who teach you how to pray and how to believe in God, and Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school teachers who teach you the stories about Jesus and about God. And that's a miracle, that they want to help you and that you are helped, and that faith within you starts to grow too. Just like your body grows bigger and stronger, your faith within you grows bigger and stronger too, all throughout your lifetime. Okay, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for miracles, for the different ways that you touch our lives, for the grace that you give to us. We give you thanks for the miracle that you have blessed each and every one of us in faith and in growth and in love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to sit down. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Miracles are wonderful things. They come many times completely unexpected. And like I mentioned there in the children's sermon, that many of you probably experienced miracles. Maybe it was in a miraculous healing in one way or the other, and it even confounded the doctors, that they didn't understand how could you be better so well, so quickly. Or maybe it was something of a financial issue. Maybe you lost your job and you got into financial difficulties. But because you lost your job, you were able to find an even better job, a job that you enjoyed more, but also had more income from it. Or maybe you were in financial straits and all of a sudden, out of the blue, you received money, either maybe through an inheritance or maybe by help from somebody else that you never expected help from. Miracles, they happen in our lives. But when does a miracle become invisible? When is it that we just don't see the miracle? I think the main time is when it becomes commonplace. When a miracle is commonplace, then we don't recognize it as a miracle. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus tells a parable about a farmer who goes out and he sows seed, and day in and day out he waits, and it sprouts and it grows, and he does not know how. It's a miracle, that miracle of a seed. Or take, for instance, if you had a handful of zucchini seed, okay? It looks dead, it looks lifeless, there's not much color to it. Doesn't look a whole lot different, if you think about it, from a handful of just dried, crumbled leaves. Okay? What happens if you throw a handful of dry, crumbled leaves onto the ground? Not much. Maybe the earthworms get supper. But if you take that handful of zucchini seeds and you plant it in the ground, a miracle happens. It germinates, it sprouts, it starts to grow, it turns green, it blossoms, and it bears fruit. So much fruit that your whole family can eat off of it. And maybe not just only your whole family, but your whole community can eat off a handful of zucchini seeds. I've known people who've come up to me and admitted, "Pastor, I have to lock my car when I come up to church on Sunday mornings. If I don't, I'm liable to find a bag full of zucchini on my front seat." It's amazing. Miracles are all sparring. We don't understand a lot of times. How can that happen? You know, botanists have studied how seeds work, and they could probably tell you the chemical processes and the different factors that it takes for a seed to germinate and sprout. But they can't explain life. Where does that life come from? How does that life happen within a seed or within an animal or within us? That's the miracle that God has given to each of us, is that miracle of life. And as I talked about with the children this morning, of that, how do we able to grow? How are we physically able to become stronger? But not only that, the true miracle is that miracle of faith, that miracle of faith that God plants into us. And it's simply by grace. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us anyway. He brings us salvation, and he gives us the grace to be able to believe that, to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He plants that within us, and he waters it with holy baptism. He nourishes it. He feeds it with Holy Communion. And there's nothing that we do. God's will is going to be done. God's will is going to be done. It's that miracle. It's that grace that God plants into us. Now, we can participate in it. As we come to worship, that's like nutrients that we feed one another. And as we give praise and thanks to God, it uplifts our spirit. And as we unload those burdens, that guilt that we have through confession or as we talk to other members, we receive comfort and we receive that assurance that surely God is here, that God is present in our lives, that miracle is alive and well within us. And as we grow and mature, we too bloom, we blossom, we flourish, and we bear good fruit. That good fruit is helping our neighbor, of being kind to one another, of doing the things that God calls us to do, giving us the gifts to do the ministry that God calls us to do. But there's a danger in all this. The danger is when we stop to see that miracle, when that miracle becomes invisible to us, when we don't see that miracle as being a gift from God, when we reduce religion or our thoughts, our faith, down to thou shalt and thou shalt not. And when we start to look at, I'm in charge of my own faith, that I am responsible for it, that I've got to go out and I've got to do, I've got to pray, I've got to go to church, I've got to help other people, and the list goes on and on of what I have to do. When we start to believe in that way, it's a killer. And it also becomes judgmental because we look at our own selves and say, hey, I'm a good person, I do all these things that I'm supposed to do, but he does not over there, or she doesn't. She's a bad person. She's going straight to Hades for what she's done. We become judgmental, and it is a killer for our own faith. We're killing that miracle that God has given to us and implanted into us. I knew a gardener once who planted his garden, and it started to grow, and he was looking at it. He says, it needs fertilizer, and he was rummaging around in his shed, and he found a bucket of fertilizer. And so he decided it sure wouldn't hurt to go spread that on my garden. So he spreads it on his garden. He waters it in real well. A couple of days later, he goes out there and he looks, and all the plants are starting to wilt, all except the corn. And a few days later, he goes back out there again, and all his plants are dead. And he's wondering, what's going on here? He looks at the plants to see if they've been eaten up by insects or if there's some kind of blight on them or fungus or something like that. He checks the soil. No, it's got plenty of moisture to it. And he knows he threw fertilizer out there. And then he starts to think, fertilizer. Where did I get that bucket of fertilizer? And why is it in a bucket? And he starts to think and he remembers. That's fertilizer left over from last year. And he remembers why it's put in that bucket is because the bag that it came in had split. And so he wanted to put it in a new container. And then he remembered what was on the bag, the label on the bag. It was fertilizer, but it was lawn fertilizer. It was the feed and weed. It contained a herbicide in that fertilizer, and he had spread it all over his garden, and that herbicide had taken his good plants as weeds, all except the corn, because the corn is considered a grass. So that's all he had to eat that year was corn. But it's a killer. It's a killer when we start to think our religion is only from ourselves, or that faith that we have, or the things that we do comes from ourselves. It does not. It comes from God. It is that miracle that God plants into us. And by that miracle, by that grace, and through mercy and forgiveness, that seed, that miracle that's planted within us starts to germinate and it grows. And it blossoms. And it starts to bear fruit. It bears fruit until that day of harvest. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.